This is the Say Yes to Fire Show. And now, join the conversation with Susanna Say Yes as she takes you on a mind-opening journey into the daunting world of financial independence and retiring early. We interview guests. We talk about stocks, crypto, and more. Streaming to the world and beyond. And beyond. Your Mondays will never be the same. Ready? Three, two, one. Fire.
Hi there. Hola. ¿Qué tal? You're listening to the Financial Diaries of a Millennial on her way to financial independence and retiring early. That millennial is me, Susanna, your host. Do you want to retire early and be wealthy? If that is a sound yes, jump into this financial journey where we figure out together how to make your money work for you and not the other way around. Disclaimer, this is free financial education, guys. Oh, don't forget to follow Say Yes to Fire on Instagram. Let's dive right in. In the last episode, we discovered long-term investing, and we briefly touched upon the Austrian School of Economics. I actually really liked that we went there, because this was a very big part of my journey when I started investing some years back. I remember having read about investing and understanding on a higher level, let's say, the main investing products. Like, basically, and probably the feeling you had after listening to episode 3, Lost on Wall Street. Like, I know my shit, like a bit. I mean, but I'm still lost. Is that normal? Yes, it's normal. It's completely normal. Let me tell you a story. After I cut off my ties with my traditional bank in Spain, I got all my money back and I went straight to the stock market. And I bought Alphabet, Facebook, Microsoft. And I felt like the she-wolf of Wall Street. Unstoppable. But I wanted more. I wanted to be the next Warren Buffett. I mean, it's a bit embarrassing to tell you all my internal pathetic glory moments, but I really promised you that I would be honest when explaining my financial journey. So here there is the plain truth. So after feeling this hype, I went to my dear Google and I typed best stocks to invest in. Then I followed with how to analyze a stock. Then I went to why stocks go up and down. And somewhere along my browser history, I found out about debt and how it causes cycles, like economic cycles, what I call ups and downs in the stock market or any financial market in general. So I went to my second favorite learning tool, YouTube, and I search macroeconomics explained. I am, of course, no expert on the topic. And honestly, just popping a YouTube video here for you is like a no-go. I mean, it would be super weird, right? So I decided to simulate my previous learning experience about the history of money. Like, why investing is a must in the society we live in. And I remember really, really vividly, like an aha moment. I really connected the dots. How am I going to simulate that? Well, surprise, surprise! I invited Peyo Arrese to bring along his passion on the subject of money. He's an engineer working on Amazon, and he's here to explain you and me the story of money. And now, I'm going to say something a bit sensitive. Guys, not only big sharks of Wall Street are stealing our money, but also the government. Shh. So with no further ado, let's dive in. Hi, Peyo. Tell us about money.
Hello, Susanna. How are you?
All good here. I've heard many times that money is devaluing every year, every moment even. It's fucking scary and actually a bit confusing. Our money in the bank is losing its purchasing value. Why is that?
Well, in 1971, at that point, no longer any money is backed by anything else than by debt.
So are you saying that money is equal to debt somehow?
Right now, money is debt completely, or 95% of it.
How does this debt influence the economic cycles?
Well, this debt, what it does, as it's backed by nothing and it's created out of thin air mostly, makes, as I said, cycles longer and more extreme. I think it would be the correct term. This also allows to governments get more debt. And the main reason is that these central banks can print new money to repay previous debt. Just make people poorer.
Do you know how long these cycles take, let's say, to complete themselves?
Well, approximately it's around one decade. I think the exact number is 7-8 years in average.
And do you think that this number is getting shorter and shorter? Or the opposite?
Not really. This number I gave you is just the average of the past century or so. Right now, we are in the longer economic growth period of all time, at least the time we have records of it. I think it's the longer because there has been applied many monetary policies that haven't been applied before.
Uncharted territory. Exactly. Do you know if, let's say, the last economic cycle started or finished in 2009 and 2010? Like, how does that crisis relate to this, let's say, economic theory that we're talking about now?
Yeah. So mainly this was driven because central banks had very, very low interest rates. This make investors and entrepreneurs to borrow money at lower cost to make investments. Last cycle was mainly influenced by not only in USA, but also many other countries in the world about housing. So with these low interest rates, the bubble started to grow. There was people getting more debt to buy houses, and then the price went up. So yeah, there you have some inflation, but mainly due to this easy access and cheap debt, in this case mortgages. Also, there were many other financial assets involved, but the main and deepest reason of this was the artificially low interest rates created by central banks and kept low in purpose.
Okay, so I have a burning question now. We established that our money in the bank is losing purchasing value, right? Is that happening because this, let's say, money is not backed by anything and we are just like increasing the amount of let's say, this asset?
Yes. So this debt, creates also inflation.
Okay. Like, honestly, like, it sounds to me, and maybe this is a bit sensitive to say, but it sounds to me like government is actually stealing our money. Or at least the purchasing value of our money.
Yeah, inflation is another kind of tax. It's a hidden tax, affects to everyone. The people that suffer the most are the poorer ones due to they don't have almost assets in their portfolio to hedge this inflation. On the other hand, rich people, most of their wealth is not, their salary, it's assets, real estate, which is well hedged to inflation, or financial assets like stocks.
Average financial individuals like you and me, what can we do to fight against this inflation?
Well, the first thing is to invest. The only way of being protected by inflation is taking that money that is being inflated every year and buying something that won't value less in the following years. So, and a stock is a good example of that. Not only stocks, maybe gold too. Maybe also bonds, depending on the bonds, of which I think we're in the biggest bubble in history on bonds. So it's not the best recommendation, but yeah, always try to get rid of that money that is being inflated, but to buy something that it's getting at least keeps the same valuable, or that its value gets bigger with the time.
Do you recommend having, let's say, all of our money, so all of our capital, in as some sort of investment product?
Depending on your cash needs, everyone should know, and always that I talk with people, I always say, and even I take this recommendation for myself, is to keep some level of cash, because you never know when you will need money. But if you are young, I always recommend to have all the money you don't need in the future, in the midterm or even short term, to invest it in stocks. As you know, you are young, you can take risk, invest wisely, think in the long term. That's the way to go, to protect and to grow wealth. That's the only way.
It kind of looks to me that investing is currently a must and no longer an option, like for people like you and me.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, you not even to, I'm not saying to get money or, you know, to get rich, because that's a possibility, but it's, you know, more difficult. But at least to preserve purchasing power, that's completely a must. Because right now, banks don't give interest rate about for the money you have on their deposits. So what you need to do is to put your money, the money you won't need, to put it on some kind of investment. And obviously, you need to save before that, because investing with borrowed money is not a good idea at all. So yeah, save and invest everything you can.
It is actually interesting that you say that, let's say, investing with borrowed money is not a good idea, because, like, sometimes I have this crazy idea, like, literally crazy, to say, okay, you know, like, in order to invest, I need money, and I don't have that much money saved because I'm just starting, like, working, I just started my professional career. So what if I would take a low interest loan, like, I don't know, 1%, and invest that, trying to achieve a 4%, 5% annually. What do you think about this thought?
Well, I think it's very, very risky, because, I mean, it's a high risk, high reward bet. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea if you know what you're doing, but if you don't know too much, I would say to go for more simple and less risk, less risky asset, or less risk way of investing in assets. So yeah, I wouldn't. There are some products, financial products, that allow you to invest with leverage that doesn't have this kind of problem, on which the bank can call you and telling, please give me the money back. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe it's also interesting for me to know, when you started, right? I assume it was like years ago. What was your, let's say, your vision, your strategy at that moment? How did you start to invest? And most importantly, also, why did you start to invest?
First of all, I wanted to make some money with the money that I saved. I didn't have too much, but I had that in mind. So that's a worry that I always had. And then I started investing in, you know, quite risky, but I always risky in terms of small companies that has high risk reward profile, but in which, you know, investments without leverage, in which only the money that I could lose would be the money that I have, no more. That's the smart way of, you know, losing money, because you can lose even more money than what you have. So that's not smart. My idea is to create wealth. I'm young, I'm 25. So I always try to maximize my investments, trying to adjust, finding highly asymmetric bets where the lose is small and the profit is high. But
can you maybe set up an example of these asymmetric bets?
Well, small companies give you these opportunities as they are not followed by the markets or by institutional or professional people in the markets. They are not followed, so they are unknown. And when they know about it, they put a lot of money on it and price go up sharply. And this kind of asymmetric bet exists. I try to find them. And yeah, as I am young, I try to take this kind of investments, but I don't recommend it for people that are older. I try to recommend them to invest more safely in, you know, big companies that...
Yeah, like blue chips. And how do you find these companies, these small companies that can produce these asymmetric bets?
Well, it's not easy as they're like hidden, they're not invisible. You just need to look for them, but you know, they are just hidden in front of us. Just need to look at it. So, requires a lot of time of research and because sometimes you spend a lot of time researching of something that ends up to be not worth of an investment. So
do you have a special like web page, blog, I don't know, YouTube channel, whatever digital media that you can think of? Do you go someplace in a specific?
Twitter.
Interesting. I've never like, because I also of course try to find these companies, maybe not so much at the extent that you do, but I usually, I don't know, just like try to dive deep into Yahoo Finance. I go article by article, these kind of things, or Seeking Alpha. But I've never heard of Twitter. That's really interesting.
No, I also look at those pages too. But that's for more the dive deep job. To find out, I just follow some people that I think they are interesting, how they think, how they invest. They talk about a company that looks interesting for me. You know, I just like spotted it. I start to make my own research, and if I think they are worthy, I invest in them.
So, Peyo, I have one final burning question. Going back to, let's say, the whole economic cycle theory, how do you recommend investing, taking into account that specific theory, so the economic cycles?
Well, depending on how you invest, this question will have an answer or another. For example, considering how I invest, I don't consider that much the economic cycles, as small companies don't get influenced that much by the economic cycle. But for the main audience or for almost anyone that invests, trying to know when will be the next crisis, it's almost impossible to know. So what I always recommend is to have cash on hand, always have some money not invested or easy to access to take advantage of those big discounts markets offer when crises arrive. Prices usually go down sharply. So I think it's always interesting to have that strategy. Be humble. Have money to invest at any time, and try to don't fear the markets. Markets are irrational, so always be prepared to put some money in the markets when the blood is on the streets.
Thank you so much. And maybe to end this episode, can you recommend some books on the economic theory, on the cycle? Economic theory?
Well, for the history of money, which I think it's very, very interesting and explains a lot of things that happens today. It's the main drivers of all the problems we suffer right now. Maybe the Bitcoin Standard is a very good book. Half of it doesn't talk about Bitcoin. It's just about history of money and so on, which is very...
Yeah, I actually have read that, and I indeed also recommend it.
It's very interesting what they say. or what Seyfarian says in that book. And also there is one book, quite technical and quite advanced, but I always recommend it because it's very, very complete. It has a 360 degree view on this topic, and it's Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles by Jesus Huerta de Soto. As I said, it's complex and deep, but it's worth giving a read to understand at least at some high level these economic cycles. They are greatly explained on that book.
Okay, so thank you so much. Really, really happy to have you here, Peyo. And I really hope you had also fun with us here today.
It's been great being here. Thank you very much, Susana.
A bit of a teaser now. In the next episode, we're going to explore a bit more of those asymmetric bets. How? Well, does GameStop ring some bells there? Short squeeze, maybe? Yeah. Tune in to find more. See you next Monday. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Say Yes to Fire podcast. Consider yourself enriched. For the latest, go to SusannaSayYes.nl. That's Susanna, SELLES.nl. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from the show. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share. Remember, sharing is caring. Till next time.